Merci.
I'm excited. I'm so excited, I don't know what to do. This is our last week on service. And when I was 19, 20, 21 years of age, I was harassed regularly with thoughts of, what's it all about? What am I here for? Is there any purpose? How can I be fulfilled? And look, the drugs didn't help. And so often when I was down and flat, that's when it would come to me. There's got to be something. There's got to be a reason. And I had turned my back on traditional Christianity because it hadn't done it for me. And it was trendy at that time to be interested in Eastern philosophy. So I got into theosophy, transcendental meditation and all of that. And guess what? None of that worked either. And in actual fact, I didn't know my greatest meaning and purpose in life was to know God and His love and serve Him. I didn't have a clue that my reason for existence was to envelop myself in Him and His agenda and fulfill His purposes through me. I was clueless. I had not heard that I'd find myself by looking after His interests. And I just needed enlightenment. And sure enough, I was 21 and somebody picked me up hitchhiking one day, took me to church. I got saved, filled with the Spirit, baptized in water. A pastor and his wife in Victoria asked me into their home to live there. And I began to hear sermons, read my Bible, and I discovered a very riveting scripture very early in the piece. It was, "He who loses his life gains it." And it penetrated right into my heart and I just wondered what that meant. Did it mean going to the Middle East and dying in a Middle Eastern jail for Christ or what? And through discipleship and watching examples all around me, I began to see that lived out in a very practical way. For years and years, I saw people lay their lives down for each other. And I soon discovered and began to experience incredible blessing and meaning on the occasions when I served others. I felt God's pleasure and I was addicted. I watched others whose service had become a holy addiction. They got high on it. This was the best high I'd ever sensed in my life. Working in a hospital in Redcliffe with a whole bunch of young girls from this fellowship was a very exhilarating time. This is a long time ago. But we'd all discovered the joy of living for others and not for ourselves. And plus, we were being discipled that way. Like, selfishness was a bit like immorality, really. So, and I am very grateful for that. But the whole bunch of us used to go off to work each day and we used to try to outserve each other and outbless. And we did sacrificial serving and we did second mile serving. We had names for it all. And it was just such fun. Then we would come home. We lived in a Christian community at the time and we would again serve each other, wait on each other, wash each other's dishes, put each other's washing out. It was a competition to see who could do the most, you know. And it was a very interesting thing. And an interesting point there that I'm injecting is that I lived with someone many years ago who was part of that team. She's now living with me in my house and you know what? She hasn't changed. She's exactly the same. I get up to flowers here and flowers there and flowers over here and I wake up to the best clean-ups you've ever seen in the kitchen. And I am thrilled. I think, Lord, this is just too hard to believe. So working in the hospital like that, it got us favour with the hierarchy and respect from our colleagues and even for some of us promotion. Although that wasn't our motive for doing it, we were shocked when they asked us to step up. Sure, we got persecuted, but you get that. Those same girls would come home each night and work with joy. My sense of fulfillment and purpose and meaning was exhilarating. the day came when this pleasing God thing, I realised that this was what I was born for. I couldn't believe I actually got to do this. It was that exciting. In fact, this church, yes, it was built on prayer, but it was also built on service. We are designed to serve. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So over every single one here in this church, there's a destiny and there's works that have been prepared for you to do. There's not one person here that's going to have a blah life. You've got the opportunity to join with God and change the world. So, look, the desire to be a world changer is in every one of our hearts, but we can squash it with selfishness. We can silence it with the chatter of competing work and duties and demands, or we can bypass it and start to search and look after our own interests. We get ambitious and we want to become a great achiever apart from God. It's interesting that you talked about that, Ben, because I read a fabulous story this week of a very famous man who was raised in a rich, rich, rich Christian family. The dad had planes, I mean, like rich. So they put their boy in Bible school. And when he got into the Bible school, there were a lot of other young people there. And the teacher, who looked after them for a particular class, put out a challenge for them one day and said, "I challenge every person in this class for the next 6 months to serve others and to forget yourself." That was radical. But after 6 months, they were so high on God that that Bible school class became the foundation for one of the biggest churches in America. And it was suddenly they all got a realization they were created to serve. So God also, he created us to serve, but he has gifted us to serve. Isn't that fun? 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So if you've got gifts, use them. Don't let them lie fallow. Now you might think, you might have been raised in the generation that wasn't very gift-minded and, "Oh, I haven't got much of a gift, you know, I just don't see I have, you know," because you're not a Billy Graham and you're not somebody else, you're not Brian Houston, anybody I could think of, but you're somebody who helps. Guess what? You're using your gift. And do you know what? Helping is right up there with all the big shots. Did you know I think there's a special anointing and special reward for toilet cleaners? People who put their hands out to help and behind the scenes. Nobody sees them. Nobody cheers them. I was in Morayfield the other day, and since COVID, all these little cleaning people have to run around and clean your table after you've been there and clean your seat after you've been there. And there, it's exhausting and it's kind of like, whoa, tedious, boring work. And I'm sitting there having a drink, and I looked across at this little lady. She might have been Asian, and she was getting up a sweat doing this. And I thought, Lord, all day, every day. So when I was finished, I went up to her and I said, "You know what, you're doing a fantastic job." And she sweat pulling down here. She looked at me and she said, "Oh, thanks so much." And I thought, yeah, God, I think sometimes you're hanging around those kinds of places. If you might not think you're super gifted, but you might be extremely gifted as well. Extremely gifted. You might have so many gifts hanging off your bowels that, look, you just don't know what to do with them. you might think to yourself, "Now, who do I know who's like that?" Well, I actually knew a young man who was in this church who was like that. He's now an assistant pastor in another church, and he was very gifted. And it used to, I could see some shortcomings sometimes, but the gifts would always stare at you in the face. And then I met and had tea with him and his wife years after he left here. And he said to me, you know, Gwen, I was always known for my giftedness. He said, I don't want to be known for that anymore. He said, I want to be known for having a heart like Jesus. I thought, oh, God, all those prayers. Oh, God, that is so exciting. And so, giftedness, we are gifted to serve, but there are other aspects to giftedness that we need to consider. There's a testimony, actually, before I talk about that testimony, I went to KCC a week ago and for one of their evening creatives meeting. And there were 70 young people absolutely on fire worshipping. And it's their creatives night. So all their musicians, their artists and the service team all gather together. Now, they would have had nearly an hour's passionate worship where you felt like the Spirit came down and took everybody up. And you saw kids dancing with their eyes shut and crying out and shouting victory to the Lord. And I'm standing there thinking to myself, wow, this has to be the, apart from our group, of course, this has to be one of the most gifted musically churches in that I have ever been in. So that's fine. And then Pastor Rob gets up to speak. And you know, the first thing he said to them was, your gift is not enough. Here they are, got out two CDs, you know, like class unbelievable in their musical skills. But he reminded them their gift wasn't enough. They had to have Jesus' attitude. They couldn't manipulate with their gift. They couldn't abuse relationships with their gifts. He just talked about that in detail. And they're all there saying, yeah, preach it, Pastor. And they loved it. They loved the reminder to make sure they kept their feet on the ground and they had Jesus' heart. In America, do you remember the situation where there was eight boys trapped in the Thai cave and there was a coach, I think, in there with them? There was a really rich American guy who was full of resources, giftings, and had all these people working for him. And he designed this little module thing that was supposed to, they were thinking, would go down into the water, pick up a child, and then bring it back. And it was big time. This man is one of the richest men in America, and he came across to Thailand with all this wealth and ideas. And he walked to the Thai authorities and they checked it all out and decided they didn't want to use it. They didn't want to use it. And you know what? He's a man who's not known for his humility. But he went up to the authorities and he said, okay, he said, how can I help? He was in a situation where he could have gone nuts over all the effort, all the money, all the resources. But he wasn't a Christian. He's not a Christian. But he just got down off his horse, so to speak, and said, look, how can I help? And sometimes that's the best way to start in God, isn't it? How can I help? Now, so we are created to serve, we're gifted to serve, but we also must have the heart of Jesus in our serving. We must have his Spirit. He demonstrated servant-heartedness through his example, and Ben shared with us last week about how he washed the feet. I mean, and I was thinking about it through the week. There must have been, it was traditional to wash each other's feet in that situation, but not one of the guys took the initiative. They all just checked it out and looked and thought, no, I'm not doing it. I don't mind doing it for the Lord, but this lot, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not going to do it. And so but guess who did it? The Lord himself. And he said, look, what you've seen me do, I want you to do. So this is the heart of service. Let's have a look at Philippians 2, 3 to 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So our motive for service is to please the one who loves us dearly, not to elicit the praises of men. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That has to be one of the hottest scriptures in the whole Bible. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times that was like taking salts for me. I would read that and suddenly become clean. Because valuing others above yourself, come on now, they're more important than you? Wow. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others? You know, you actually even have to get to know people to find out what they're interested in. It's not a hello at church. It's finding out what interests them. It's a deeper relationship required to fulfil that scripture. You know, this is a bit against our natural tendencies. He asked us to do what was not possible without his empowerment. I love this, value others. Attribute value to others. I want you to look at the person right next to you and say, you are gold. You are gold. No matter how much you give me the pip, you are gold. Do you know who I've so enjoyed valuing of recent years, and it happened because of a situation that I went through, is the invisibles. Those who know me have heard me talk about the invisibles. I love the invisibles. They're the people you don't see. They're the people who are not trendy. They don't wear the right clothes. They might have a few issues as well. They're the people you bother with and ask Jesus that you see them like he sees them. They're the people easily overlooked. They're the people that if we serve or bless, we might not get anything much back. You're not going to get much back. They won't give you much. The reward isn't obvious at the time. If you give up your life, you gain it. This used to make me nervous. As I mentioned before, I used to think, God, have I got to die for you? But I realised that all I had to do was to put others ahead of myself along the pathway of life. If you lose yourself, you find yourself. This is one of the greatest secrets of all time. John 15:13 said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Paul quoted Jesus, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Service occurs when you have decided to live an unselfish life and bring refreshment to another, putting another's interests at the top of your list. Anybody here a list person who works out what they do the next day? We put the to-dos, got to do this, got to do that, but maybe wouldn't it be fun and a good practice to put somebody else's interests on the top? Whoa, radical, radical. Might take up the whole day and you won't get all the other stuff done. Attribute great worth to people and then add value to their lives. Jesus valued us, became like us, and added enormous value to our lives. We are designed to focus on others. We are designed to serve. We are gifted to serve, but we need the heart of Jesus to serve. And reading on in Philippians, it says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. We have his heart to put others before us, but we have his mind. And that's a pretty high call. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. So, we have the heart of Jesus, but we've got to have the right thinking, the right mind. Jesus willingly positioned himself to serve others, to wash their feet at a great cost. Can we put up our picture? Now, this is a grandma who works and helps her daughter in an orphanage in Nagaland. This lady and her husband were both raised in an orphanage. They grew up, got married, got saved, one of their daughters went across to America for 5 years to be educated. While she was over there, the Lord spoke to her and said, when you go back to Nagaland, I want you to start an orphanage. So she went back to Nagaland and she got 16 orphans. And through some support from America, they built quite a nice little orphanage. But in that orphanage is a house where she and her husband live. Her brother, her sister, her mother and her father live there as well. And that's her mum. Can we move on to the next one? That's her mum there cooking. She's way into her 70s, cooking for the 16 orphans. And the joy that she has in there is indescribable. I met her and her husband together. We had little time. And honestly, I have not met people where I've felt like something warm and safe and beautiful was coming off them. And those two, they had it. And I was so blessed with it. Next one. That's the couple. That's the daughter who started the orphanage. And then this is the man. She said, if you want to marry me, you've got to have 16 orphans as well. So he said, yes, started a Bible school, a church, and now he ministers right across the north of India. So this couple love serving. Absolutely love it. And the next one. Now, this is a bit scrambled here. When I go to Nepal each year, I go to visit this woman and her husband. This is Beulah. Her husband's taking the photo and he sent me the text. He was so proud of her. About a month ago, she noticed the streets where she lives, all these Hindu children not having access to computers like she did and her kids did for their schooling. And so it grieved her, it bothered her. She kept saying to her husband, oh, these kids, they're missing out on so much schooling. So what she did was she went and got permission, and all these kids now are in the church that we helped build. So all these are the local kids, Hindu parents, in a Christian church doing their schoolwork. This lady is a servant, and I've been there and seen them both in action. And she's at home in that area. Her husband's at the Bible school working every day. She's at home, always looking for a way she can connect with the community and excite them about God. So I just love that. And so, opportunity for service is where you are, your family, your workplace, and your local church and community. If we're designed to serve, we also need clear eyesight. Do you remember the story? I heard a preacher say this a couple of weeks ago up north, that when the people of Jerusalem, they were taken over by the Babylonians and Jerusalem was in disrepair. But there were a lot of Jewish people living all around that area while they were under the control of the Babylonians. Did you know that not one day did anyone go over to try to fix or repair what they saw every day? They saw the broken down walls every single day and did nothing. And sometimes we need special glasses on to be able to see clearly what's at hand. Sometimes we can't see what's right in front of us. And so our opportunities are usually right in front of our face. Jesus was ever alert to the broken all around him. He had his eyes open and his ears looking for opportunities to serve, to demonstrate the kingdom. Look, his prayer life kept him in tune with the Father's heart regarding people all around him. So when we're impassionate about improving the lives of others, we can actually make our day and make it a masterpiece and work with God, be it ever so small or large. I have a picture of Jesus, like he spent the night in prayer with the Father and then he comes out and he's just ready. Okay, Father, what, where, who? And I suspect that he would like us to be more like that. Instead of being jammed in the routines of life, but to say, God, where, what opportunity, how can I break through my traditions and what I usually do with my day. Sometimes I forget, but it is my desire to start my day saying, what can I give? Who do I bless? Who do I reach out to? And often I will call on the Holy Spirit. If I feel blanked about everything, I say, Holy Spirit, open up opportunities. Help me, Lord. I want to move out of myself. So I would get you to ask yourself, what's right in front of my face today? Is it family issues? Is it work style, your style of work? Or is it involvement in community? You can see a big community need and God stirring your heart about it. Or is there something in your church where you could contribute and make a difference? Look, sometimes coming to church, people, it's people saying to themselves, is the worship nice? Is the word good? And it's all about you. And sometimes God might put you somewhere to serve. Now, I know that there were people in this church who had that attitude and are now great servers in our church. So that's the heart of a servant. So ask the Lord, what's right in front of my face? Be proactive. Just ask yourself, who can I help and how can I help each day? We're designed to serve. We're designed to improve the lives of others. Cleaning and washing people's feet. I love that washing people's feet thing because it's always symbolized to me refreshing somebody else. To refresh them. Make them sense the presence of the Lord, the cleansing of God. You know, we know to start all of this by appreciating others. Start valuing people. Affirm them. One of the biggest ways you can perform an act of love is to listen. I know that's going to be a stretch for some. Some of us are innate, unable to listen. We have a motor that's going. I tell you what, you listen to someone, it's an act of love. It's an act of service. And I mean, don't look at their eyebrows and think about the next thing you're going to say. I know about that because I've done that. I am the least holy to be talking about that. So I've discovered when I go to the hospital on Wednesdays that sometimes there are people there that crave to be heard. Crave to be heard. So if you give them time, I don't mean listening to rubbish and criticism and evil things. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about their story. Their story, how they met Jesus, their journey with the Lord. You might learn something. You might go away richer. You might go away blessed. So be a listener. It's an act of love. Say that with me. Listening is an act of love. Is an act of love. Become intentional with contacting your community or people in the church or the neighbourhood. Make it your intention to step out of yourself to bless, serve, and encourage others. We need to make a difference right where we are. If you've got ideas to go and be a work amongst children in Upper Slobovia, but you don't see the needs of children here, well, you haven't got your right shoes on. You need to start all over. So, and look, we can begin by doing ordinary things. Like my little housemate, I wake up to these pretty flowers because she knows I like painting them. And so she gets all the ones she thinks I might like. So my day consists of being surrounded by these little thoughts from my sister. You know, we can make a difference right where we are. Ask God constantly to enable you to see people as he sees them. You know, familiarity can bring contempt. Oh, yeah, that's old so-and-so. Yeah, I've known them for years. Well, you know what? That's an indicator you're stale, not them. That's an indicator you aren't fresh. You haven't got God's heart or mindset. You're looking at people through an old sieve. So he's calling you today to get that freshed up, that everybody looks like an opportunity. That would be fun. That will be fun. Sometimes you can take risks. You need to take risks and step out. And you might get, our fear of rejection is so enormous sometimes. But Jesus said, do for each other what I have done for you. Those who are given serving responsibilities. Now, there are those who are past that stage and are actually given responsibility in church or at work or whatever else, and they have got a weight on their shoulders to make sure that something flourishes or functions or does well. Maybe you're a Connect group leader or whatever. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it's required of servants that they prove faithful. And faithful servants persist. They last the distance. They endure difficult conditions and they don't give up when things get tough. Anybody here who's given up when things got tough? I know you're not honest. They build resilience in serving God, and guess what? Then they qualify for more service. This is faithful ones. And Matthew 24:21 says, you've been faithful in a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. If you are faithful in the little things that are around you, God then promotes you. He's looking for people to promote because he's got lots of jobs to be done. So God created us for works of service. He gifted us to serve, and he demonstrated his heart, and he encourages us to put on his mind as we go out to serve. Now, there is a little something here that I read. I didn't write this, so I won't be blamed, but I thought it was kind of cute. I found it in a book on volunteers in a church. Every local churchgoer has a choice to make. He can park his car in the usual car space, sit in his usual seat, watch a good service, chat with friends, and then go home. Or he can throw himself into an adventure by rolling up his sleeves, joining a team of like-minded servants, and help to build the local church that God has called him to be a part of. Amen? Amen. Thank you for listening. But before I go, let's pray. Let's just get God in on this. Lord, oh Lord, how at times we've been blind. We haven't had the right mindset. And Lord, we've had ourselves on our mind. And Lord, we just ask you today to just bring a real cleansing by your spirit, your heart, your grace, your love, and enable us, empower us to step outside of ourselves, to be bold, to wash other people's feet, to bring them refreshing, to strengthen them in their faith, to encourage them in their heart. Lord, we do want to be those channels of your blessing. Lord, the biggest joy we had when we first got saved, that you loved us and then we could actually serve God. And Lord, it's a few years later for some of us. We still want to be in the same spirit. And Lord, we want to glorify your name in everything we do. I just commit this church into your hands, that it would flourish, that it would flourish, that it would arise, that it would be erupting with goodwill, God's goodwill. The love of Jesus would flow like a river out of every heart. Lord, you'd cleanse our blocks and our hang-ups and our miseries and our yesterdays and our whatevers, Lord, so that we can be focused and about doing the stuff that you want us to do. Thank you, Lord.